Hey friends, and welcome to It's Better When You're Here podcast. My name is Pastor Michael, and I get to be the pastor of Shepherd's Community United Methodist Church, one church at two locations in Central Florida. This is the sermon that we preach this week. I hope that the message inspires you and encourages you and reminds you that God loves you. All right, here's the message.
So last week we talked about silence and talked about the spiritual practice that is silence, the sacrament even that is silence. And it is rare for me to get this much connection after a sermon as I did from last week. So many people reached out and said, I really needed to hear that times of quiet, times of not listening to so many things is actually a spiritual practice that I need to take on. I had people text me and Facebook message me and say, I am so grateful that I'm so less connected. And yes, I see the irony that they were texting me and Facebook messaging me, but I digress. These moments of quiet, letting nature speak to us instead of the, for lack of a better term, the demons of noise. I stood before you and said that I was going to make a commitment for this week that I wouldn't look at social media until my coffee cup was empty. And I'll tell you that over the last week, three whole days, I did that. And, you know, I'm not perfect, but those were three pretty good days. It's hard, though, when you're used to this habit. I woke up and my brain was like, look at the flashlight that tells you bad news. And all of a sudden, I was at the bottom of Instagram and I was like, dadgummit, I forgot to commit to this. But I'm going to keep that practice going. I'm happier. I'm happier when I'm not looking at social media, not being in formed, not being connected, and I'm able to just be instead of do. It's a tough balance that we have to strike between being informed and being overwhelmed. I wonder if we as a church family might find that balance and walk it well. This week, I get to take down another giant, or I hope I can attempt to take down another giant besides noise and being over-informed, and that is busyness. That is the Goliath that stands at the other end of this field, and I've got my sling, and I hope that we can share that together. Today, we are going to talk about the spiritual practice, the sacrament of Sabbath. Everyone say Sabbath.
Sabbath.
Sabbath is this practice of setting aside time for rest as an act of worship. And the thing I'm going to say a lot today, the thing you can write in your bulletin or even take digital notes in our Church Center app is this. May we boldly love God with rest so that we can experience the love, light, and hope of Jesus Christ. May we boldly love God with rest so that we can experience the love, light, and hope of Jesus Christ. So what is Sabbath? Maybe you've heard the term Sabbath before. Maybe you have a friend who practices Judaism, or maybe a friend who's a Seventh-day Adventist. You might hear the term Sabbath, or maybe you're just a cool kid and you like to read the Bible, and so you know the term Sabbath. Well, the Sabbath is the practice of setting aside time in our lives where we rest, where we actively rest, which I know sounds like a contradiction, but I assure you not. Give me about 20 minutes and I'll plead my case. But Sabbath is not laziness. It is not choosing to not do the things that we must accomplish. It is not being lazy. And Sabbath is not bed rot. Although I will tell you, if you're not familiar with the term bed rot, it's when you lay horizontally and you do nothing except maybe scroll on your phone or watch YouTube or binge watch an entire series that's meant to be taken over the course of several months and you watch it in 4.5 hours. That's bed rot. Now, I am not disparaging the gift that is bed rot. In a couple of days or a couple of weeks, the girls and I were going on a vacation. I'm really excited about we're doing some fun adventures. But at the end of July, the wife and I were going to a hotel where we don't pay the air conditioning bill. And there will be numbers on that thing that is never, you're going to walk in and think it's on Celsius. It's going to go so low and we're not going to do anything. I'm so excited. We're going to order bad food to the room. We're going to see what's in the mini bar. Be like, yes, I do want $14 peanut M&Ms. Absolutely. And we will bed rot. That's a gift. But that is not Sabbath. okay? Sabbath is active rest. Sabbath is actually worship in the form of rest. I hope that this feels discordant with the way things are in our culture. Last week I said, we're a little bit too connected. It's a little bit too easy to reach everyone. Well, friends, we are way too busy. The culture of work-life balance that we have in our culture is wrong and upside down. We as the church, we get to figure out a new way of doing this. And the Sabbath stands in stark contradiction in the busy, busy, busy grind culture that we find ourselves in. May we boldly love God with rest so that we can experience the love, light, and hope of Jesus Christ. Our passage today comes from the Psalms. It's Psalm 92. We're going to read verses 1 through 15. An important note that you should see at the top, but you won't, is that this psalm is a song to sing on the Sabbath day. This is a song to sing on the Sabbath day. The 4th of July is going to be coming. We'll be singing the national anthem at Christmas. We're singing that Grandma got run over by a reindeer and whatever, what other sacred carols your family sings. On birthdays, we sing Happy Birthday. We have these songs that we sing. I told you on Mother's Day, the song that my mother would sing on Sunday mornings, which was Rise and Shine, Give God the Glory, Glory. That would be the song that I would hear as I was begging to just die. And that was the song that got us ready for our Sunday morning. This was the song that Jewish families would sing on the Sabbath day. All right, we here at Shepherd's, we have a tradition where the reader will say when we're done that this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Then all of you will say, thanks be to God. But then we add an extra oomph on the end, the word woo. So be ready with your woo. Hear the word of the Lord. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name most high, to proclaim your loyal love in the morning, your faithfulness at nighttime with the 10-stringed harp, with the melody of the lyre, because you've made me happy, Lord. By your acts, I sing with joy because of your handiwork. How awesome are your works, Lord. Your thoughts are so deep. Ignorant people don't know. Fools don't understand this. Though the wicked spring up like grass and all evildoers seem to blossom, they do so only to be destroyed forever. But you, Lord, are exalted forever. Look at your enemies, Lord. Look at how your enemies die, how all evildoers are scattered abroad. But you've made me as strong as a wild ox. I'm soaked in precious ointment. My eyes have seen my enemies defeat. My ears have heard the downfall of my evil foes. The righteous will spring up like a palm tree. They will grow strong like a cedar of Lebanon. Those who have been replanted in the Lord's house will spring up in the courtyards of our God. They will bear fruit even when old and gray. They will remain lush and fresh in order to proclaim, the Lord is righteous. He is my rock. There's nothing unrighteous in him. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Hey friends, it's Pastor Michael. We are just so grateful for every last one of you that listens to the It's Better When You're Here podcast. We are so excited that we get to share in this work of ministry and the messages that are preached every week at Shepherd's Community United Methodist Church. We wanted to give you an opportunity. If you want to be a part of what God is doing here at Shepherd's here in Central Florida, and you would like to give, you can go to shepherdsumc.com/give, and you can find a way to give that way. Any support really helps us produce this podcast, but also helps us love our neighborhood around the world very, very well. So thank you for tuning in, and now back to the podcast.
Very good. So this passage, this psalm, the psalm is the poetry book or the song book for the people of Israel. So these were the songs that the people of Israel would sing. They would know them. They would memorize them. They would hum along a sort of tune. But this is a psalm for the Sabbath. Observing the Sabbath has always been counter-cultural. You know, it used to be the norm that the work week was 7 days long. In Christian cultures and Christian communities, people would get the Sunday morning off. They wouldn't work on Sunday morning so they could attend worship, and then they would get back to work. It wasn't just because in those times, bosses weren't as nice as they are now, and some bosses aren't very nice right now, but it's not just because of that balance. It was because we human beings, we require things like food and water and shelter, and man, those things are pretty expensive. I don't know if you've noticed. But during American culture, human culture during that time, it required 7 days of work. And so 5 days of work meant that you were going to be hungry for two. But in the Israelite culture, in the Israelite lesson, in the gift of the Sabbath, the God of the universe says, you will actually have more if you work less. And sometimes Jewish families would be known and noticed by the rest of their culture, especially around Christians, by noticing that they weren't working on the Sabbath day. Observing the Sabbath requires one to be countercultural. Working as much as you can is born of fear of scarcity, that there isn't enough. Sabbath comes from trust in God's grace. If you think that you're going to run out of enough, you will work as much as you physically can. You will have a 5 to 9 as well as a 9 to 5. You will find yourself worn out, wrung out, working as hard as you can. But rest as worship only feels odd to our Christian lives if we ignore all of the Old Testament. The thing about Christians, we are not required to celebrate the Sabbath. We are not forced to celebrate the Sabbath. But as followers of Jesus, we look at what Jesus did and we know that Jesus celebrated the Sabbath. So that sacrament is something that we must do. A sacrament is what we do to emulate Christ. If we want to be like Christ, then we need to practice Sabbath. May we boldly love God with rest so that we can experience the love, light, and hope of Jesus Christ. So when Amanda and I, when we lived in Maitland, we lived down the street from a synagogue. And every Saturday morning, we would look out our window and we would see family after family walking down the street. Sometimes in floor-length wool coats. We lived in Maitland, Florida, and it was like this outside, walking to temple. And we would see families come out from all sorts of neighborhoods walking, never driving, because in their observance of the Sabbath, they would not drive a car because that was work. They would not turn on light switch because that was considered work. They would find themselves practicing Sabbath in such strict ways that they would wear a wool coat on a Saturday morning in May. We have this lovely little family that goes to chapel. They just had a tiny little baby, and they walked to church this morning and then walked home from church this morning. She was wearing the baby. And I told her, I was like, if there was $1,000 at the end of this road and I had to put that baby on my chest and walk to get it, I would just say, you know, I'll earn it some other way. The idea of walking outside is so foreign to me, an idea that when I see these people practicing Shabbos, I understand how valuable this practice is. But friends, hear the good news. We don't have to Sabbath. We as Christians, we get to Sabbath. What a gift it is that we get to Sabbath. I wonder what might happen if we as a church took the practice of Sabbath seriously. And if we took this means of grace seriously, may we boldly love God with rest so that we can experience the love, light, and hope of Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, if we look at this passage, we see a psalmist that understands the power of Sabbath. in this passage, it says, your faithfulness at nighttime with the 10-stringed harp. You know, I love the Psalms because they list all these things that we don't really deal with nowadays, including like 10-string harps and lyres, L-Y-R-E's. We got plenty of the other ones. But the 10-string harp, the thing about the 10-string harp is you cannot build a house, a business, or a legacy with a 10-stringed harp. You really can't. No one here has a favorite 10-string harp player. A 10-string harp is there for you to sit on your back porch and enjoy. It is a Israelite banjo. It is not something that is there to lead orchestras, but rather an instrument for self-reflection. I am in love with a girl named Amanda. I met her in middle school. She's my wife. But she is a 5 on the Enneagram. If you know anything about the Enneagram, 5s on the Enneagram are data-driven, brilliant people to be loved by. There have been times in my life where I have, you know, confided in Amanda, I'm having a hard time with this. And a few hours later, I'll receive 10 or 12 well-researched NPR articles about the concept that I'm struggling with. Have I painted a picture of my beautiful wife? She's not here. I'm able to just gas her up as much as I want. And so that's what love looks like from her. And last night I'm watching TV by myself and I get a text and it's a link to eBay. And if I gave you 1,000 guesses, you would not know what she was sent me. I wish it was a 10-string harp because that would be perfect for the sermon. But instead it was an antique German concertina. Does anyone know what a concertina is? It's a little accordion. Like, and I don't even need one because I can do it with my mouth. But a concertina, they're these little, accordion. I cannot think of the word accordion. For those at chapel campus, I had the hardest time saying the word accordion. Anyways, I digress. This little accordion that no one listens to and no one wants. You cannot build a legacy playing a concertina, right? You could probably make a buck by playing it in public and saying, give me $20 and I'll stop. But it's the kind of thing that one would play in their home for fun. Fun. I mean, imagine, friends, in our culture, spending time doing something for fun and for no other purpose. I didn't buy the concertina, but I think I might when I come home from church today. May we boldly love God with rest so that we can experience the love, light, and hope of Jesus Christ. In the passage, the psalmist says, God, your thoughts are so deep. By God's grace, deep thoughts are not a luxury. If you have not found time to sit and to think, today's message is here to encourage you to find and make that time. By God's grace, deep thoughts are not a luxury. Instead, they are a sacrament. When I say Sabbath is not laziness, this is what I mean. It is in the sacrament of rest that we emulate God. It is in the sacrament of rest, of Sabbath, that we emulate God, that we can see God. May we boldly love God with rest so that we can experience the love, light, and hope of Jesus Christ. There's a passage, this is where we get the teaching of the Sabbath in Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. I want to share it with you now. The heavens and the earth and all who live in them were completed. On the sixth day, God completed all the work that God had done. And on the seventh day, God rested from all the work that God had done. God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it, God rested from all the work of creation. Now, I don't know the biology of God. I don't. The Bible does not reveal how tall God is, how wide, how, you know, if God has feet, if God, you know, has a beard or hair. We don't know the biology of God. But I can tell you this, that if I was an omniscient, omnipotent being, I would make it so that I no longer needed to ice my knees if I do too much stuff. I would make it to where I don't need rest anymore. Can I tell you how many times that I have started to feel sleepy and my immediate emotion is anger? Why am I tired? I want to keep playing. I want to keep doing things. I want to keep being around people. You know, this embarrassing thing has happened in my later 30s. I'm out with friends and I begin to yawn. Man, nothing says a party's a good time quite like you know? And the God of the universe does not need rest. The God of the universe is not the sort of being that needs a nap or God's going to be grumpy for the rest of the day. No, God is resting to show us how to live like God. God is resting to show us what we must do to be like God. God rested. When we rest, we can appreciate all that has been done. Look at this passage. It says, on the sixth day, God completed all the work that God had done. And on the seventh day, God rested from all the work that God had done. My dad used to mow the backyard. There was always this moment when all the lawnmower and the weed whacker and all those things got put away, and dad would do the most important part of landscaping. Do you guys know what that is? It's one of these. It's pretty good. Hey, Trina, come here. Look. You see that? See the edge? Me. Well, you got to sit back. You got to enjoy it. You got to look at it, right? You got to admire the way that it looks. You know, we've been doing some painting here at the church, and the people that are painting it will send pictures, and I can just feel like all of us are gathered around our phones going, would you look at that? Look at those lines. That's good. That looks really, really good. You got to step back. You got to look at it. You got to enjoy it. In Annabelle's room, there is a tape measure that we've tacked to the wall. We've measured it to the ground. And every birthday, we have measured her height. And poor thing just keeps going, right? The space between 9 and 10, this little girl grew 6 inches. That's why her knees hurt all the time, right? But even though we noticed that she was getting taller, we didn't see it day to day. It took us stepping back and going, wow, look at what you've done. Look at the way that you've grown. I wonder sometimes if we feel as if we're not making any progress in our spiritual lives or in our relationships, because we haven't taken a moment to look and go, whoa, I am more patient than I used to be. Man, I do know more about God than I used to. Man, I really have been less of a jerk to that annoying coworker. Look at what God is doing. You see, it takes time of rest to notice what has happened. Today, we celebrated Move Up Sunday, where we saw some children move into youth ministry. Our youth ministry and our discipleship ministry right now is on Sabbath. For the summer, we take Sabbath from discipleship and youth ministry. That doesn't mean that we're lazy, that we're sitting on our laurels, but rather we are looking and seeing, look at what God has built. Look at what God has built. We're preparing for the next iteration this fall. We're going to have new forms of discipleship, a new youth ministry. I'm so excited to see what is going to happen. But now we get to look and say, wow, look at what God has built. Come fall, when the Sabbath time has ended, we will see what God will do next. But unless we pause and look as a church, we will not be able to see the growth that God has brought. May we boldly love God with rest so that we can experience the love, light, and hope of Jesus Christ. So that's Sabbath as a church. We have to look also at Sabbath as individuals. When I graduated from seminary, it took me 5 years to finish a 3-year program, not to brag or anything, but I was reading all the time. I would get these syllabi from my professors, and they would be like, every week you've only got like 200 pages to read. And I'd be like, who and with what army? And this was before, not to sound like an old man, but like, back in my day, we didn't have the ChatGPTs. And so like, it was all analog from this dumb thing. And I was reading all the time. So when I graduated, people would be like, I'm reading this great novel. And I was like, yeah, for what class? I'd be like, oh, it's for fun. I'd be like, you can read for fun? And so it took me years. It took me literal years to realize that reading can be fun. For fun, just for fun, not for a class. And so finally, I broke myself down and I finally learned how to read for enjoyment. I don't know what it is for you, what thing used to bring you joy, but maybe now it's your job. Maybe the thing that you enjoy doing feels too much like work. Today, may this message serve as the impetus to encourage you to try doing that thing for fun. You got to choose a thing. How does Sabbath requires you to choose a thing? Maybe it's reading. Maybe it's sewing. Maybe it's walking or swimming. Maybe it's playing music. Get that 10-string harp out or that concertina and learn something new. Do something for fun. And maybe it's tech team. That's really funny. Good job, tech team. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe you're just really passionate about live streaming or running slides. Whatever it might be, that is your Sabbath. I've left one out gardening. That's me. Some of you went home with enough basil to make some pesto. I hope you actually used it and it just didn't wilt away like my basil always does. But I love gardening. I love going out into this little part of our yard that we've decided is now the garden. Look at all the things that I've planted and are doing well. Look at all the things that I've planted and have died. Look at all the things I haven't planted and are doing so, so well, like weeds and basil and watermelons. I have so many freaking watermelons, you guys. I hope y'all like watermelons, because I don't. That's why I didn't plant them. I planted them a year and a half ago, and now they're back, like Night of the Living Melons. They are back, and I have so many of them, and I hope you enjoy them. I have so much basil. I'm planning on bringing some basil plants for you to take home, because I'm dying underneath all this pesto. So basil and watermelon, but the thing is I walk out and I see this grass or this land and I realize this is something that I get to do. It's not a job. There's no way to fail. There's really no way to succeed. It is simply to stand and enjoy the garden that God has graced me with. I see it as a means of grace. I experience God in those moments. I have a zinnia plant that's starting to bloom. Zinnias are little flowers that sort of bloom, and there's like 1,000 flowers in the flower. And one of them, the neck got strong enough for me to clip and to put it into a vase and give it to the pretty girl that I'm married to. And so I did that, and I'm standing there, and as I'm walking out, I have blanket flowers, which they're flowers. And a butterfly comes and lands. Y'all are gonna be like, this preacher's lying so he can have a sermon story. This really happened. A big old butterfly landed on one of these blanket flowers, and I just stood and I said, "Hello, welcome. I'm so glad you're here. It's better when you're here." And I have this zinnia in my hand, and I'm like, "Am I going to be a Disney princess right now?" I stick out the zinnia, and this little goober comes and lands on the flower as I'm holding it. Like, it's such a moment. And she just stands there, and I'm like, trying to use my mind, like, "Amanda, Annabelle, come out here right now." But they're away in the house or something, and I'm just like, "I hope someone else sees this. No one's going to believe me." And I just stood there, and I talked to a butterfly, because, like, I'm only going to be on this planet for so long, I might as well. And I had this moment where I realized there's nothing that could be done here except to experience a moment of God's grace. That's God's grace. It's just God being there and being present for just a moment. Rabbi Hillel says that one who labors with their mind must Sabbath with their hands. One who labors with their hands must Sabbath with their mind. If you do a job, something that I would call like a real job, where like you have calluses because of your job, you do a thing where you serve others through the sweat of your brow, I would encourage you to Sabbath in a way that uses your mind. In my job, I work 40 to 70 hours a week thinking. I just think. I sit down and I think, and then I tip, tap, tip on my computer, and I think, and I think, and I think. And then on my Sabbath, I go outside, and your boy does not think. I just shut the brain part off, and I stop thinking. I would encourage you to Sabbath in a way that separates you from the thing that you do that adds value to the world around you. May we boldly love God with rest, so that we can experience the love, light, and hope of Jesus Christ. We call these means of grace, the ways that we experience grace, prayer and silence and Sabbath. These are the ways that we experience God's grace, the way that we feel the grace of God. We are in grace all the time. Simply by breathing in and breathing out, we are alive, and so we experience God's grace. But this is the way that we actually feel that grace. There have been so many times in my Christian journey, my Christian life, where I feel as if God is far away. St. John of the Cross called it the dark night of the soul. or the black dog comes and scratches at my door. Those moments of deep spiritual depression where I feel like God is so far away and I can't hear God and God can't hear me. When I pray, they fall on deaf ears. I know that some of you have experienced this as well. This is a normal Christian experience to feel God so far away. I'm not trying to belittle those moments, those times, those seasons. But I wonder, might we be missing the presence of God because we lack a means of grace? Maybe we are missing the presence of God because we lack a means of grace. That is why we celebrate communion every single Sunday. I want to encourage anyone that comes here to experience the presence of God in that moment, even if it is just bread and grape juice. That moment where God's presence is here and seen. But practices like prayer and silence and Sabbath, those are the means of grace that will let us know that the God of the universe is here, resting and seeing what God has accomplished, sitting back and admiring what God has done in you, in all of us. May we boldly love God with rest so that we can experience the love, light, and hope of Jesus Christ. All right, so I've got some action points for you today. This is a very practical sort of message, a thing that you can put into action right away. The first one is this, is I want you to pick a Sabbath. If you're lucky enough to have a whole day, or if you're brave enough to have a whole day, I want you to pick a day, and now that is your Sabbath. Mine happens to be Friday. Friday is my Sabbath. My work week is Sunday to Thursday. Friday is my Sabbath. And so I protect that day as if it is the most important appointment that I have all week, because it is. It's an appointment that I have with God, and sometimes I do break it. This past Friday, we got to celebrate the life of a young man who grew up at what used to be Highlands United Methodist Church and is now Shepherd's Community United Methodist Church on Friday evening. Obviously, I did not Sabbath during that service. Instead, I got to do an incredible thing, which was celebrate the life of a saint. You too might have something come up, but I want you to protect that day as if it is an important appointment, because it is. I don't know what your life is. Maybe you got a bunch of kids or a really, you know, important job or a job that asks a lot of you and you can't get a whole day. That's okay. Is it 3 hours? Is it five? Is it an hour and a half? Is it 30 minutes where no one needs you and you need no one? You simply have that time set apart for you to rest as a means of grace. And then the second action point is I want you to begin to actively Sabbath, not as a way to relax, to put your feet up, to chill, to bed rot, but rather as a means of grace, as an act of worship. Twist your mind that has been encouraged by culture and capitalism and busyness to believe that every moment not building something is a moment wasted. Condition that mind to understand that a moment not doing a daggum thing is a chance for you to know God's grace. A sacrament like the table, a sacrament like baptism, a means of grace. So pick a Sabbath and then begin to practice. And may we boldly love God with rest so that we can experience the love, light, and hope of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together.
Hey friends, thank you so much for joining us this week. I hope that this message connected with you and inspired you. Please reach out to us on social media or through our website. We would love to know if this is your church family. If this message meant something to you, please share it with someone that you know or you love, or share it on social media. We know that it would be so much better with you here, so much better with the whole world, knowing of God's great love for all of us. Have a great week. And be blessed.